Good morning. It's good to be here. We pray and then we will read our Bibles. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so very good. We praise you. We praise you when we look at the cross and we remember what you did. We praise you when we open your word and we submit ourselves to you because you are the Lord of the universe. And when we read, you speak to us. So as we read today, God, I pray that you would do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we've been going through the second half of Colossians, asking the question, which is what's answered in this section of the book, how is a Christian supposed to live? What is a Christian's life supposed to be like? And Paul has been talking about every area of our lives. And today, look at Colossians 3, verse 20, 21. That'll be our text for today. Paul says this, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So he's talking about parents and children in today's text. And if you, as we read this, if you say, oh, that you may say that for several different reasons. You may say, oh, because you don't have children that you're raising right now. And you say, this doesn't apply to me. Well, in all kindness, you saw where we were going today. You could have slept in, but I'm glad you didn't. I think this will be useful for whether you have children or you don't. Maybe you said, because you're a child. You said, I wish we would have Sunday school during church, at least today, because I don't want to hear this. Well, this will be helpful for you. If you're a parent with children that you're raising, it'll be helpful for us. I think by the time we get to the end, we'll see this is helpful for all of us because it's God's word and he's promised that it's useful and it will be because it doesn't just point to parents and children. This text points to the cross and this text points to the gospel and this text points to something that is very, very relevant for all of us no matter what our child state is in this precise moment. But starting where the text starts, parents and children, that's actually a pretty good thing for us to talk about. There's a reason why this is a useful text just at first glance. The reason this is a useful text when we look at it is because this is a problematic area, parents and children. How many problems have you seen around you? I don't think about yourself and your children. That's painful, right? But think about other people and other people's problems with their kids. How many problems have you seen just looking around and say, well, of course, that's a parent-child problem. That's children being rebellious kind of by nature to the point where we expect them to rebel, right? How old are your kids? Oh, 13, 14. Ooh, they're going to start rebelling. They're going to be all, they're going to turn against you. We expect that on some level because we know that in our nature, there's rebellion. And rebellion first manifests itself primarily against who? It's the parents. That's whoever kid learns to say the word no to first. And so there's rebellion against parents. If you're a child, how do you feel when your parents tell you what to do and you don't want to do it? You know that feeling? It's been a long time for me, but I could still remember it. And I see it in the faces of my boys sometimes. It's that, just on the inside. Is there any way I could? You ever feel that? Maybe it was just me growing up. I don't know. You know that thing that you feel on the inside? Okay. But parents, the other part of the whole, you know, problems is we look around and we say, well, of course, that family has been devastated by parent-child problems, dysfunction. Parents are the other half of that. And so sometimes it's because, isn't it because parents abandon their children? They aren't with their children as they're being raised. They choose not to be with them sometimes. Sometimes we can be there, but not there. You know, it's I'm always on my phone, and there's a screen in front of me, and I'm always talking to somebody other than my children. I'm raising them, but I'm not raising them. Or maybe I'm there and present and engaged emotionally, but the emotion that I feel is never a good one. It's always things came and ruined my life. It would be so much better if you should just get through it. Have you ever been frustrated with your children? See, it's church, so we want to be holier than we are normally, right? But it's also church, and so of all the places in which to lie, this is probably the worst one, right? You know that feeling you feel, the frustration sometimes feel? Okay, all the problems that come out of that, parents who aren't there or are there but aren't there in the way they should be, and children rebelling against their parents from the very first time they learn the word no until they storm off in a cloud of dust and smoke when they're 18 or 19. Or 30, whatever the age may be. All the dysfunction that you look around and see, this is a text that helps us with that. And it's a very practical text. Let's read it again and then look at it. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. If you're a child living under the authority of your parents, and I know everyone's looking down right now because this is one you don't want to look up and make eye contact with, I get it. Your goal should be memorize this verse by the end of the time I'm done. You should be able to get in the car with your parents, and they should be able to look at you and say, what was the verse for you today? And you should be able to say this back to them word for word, okay? Can you do that? The answer would be yes, of course you could do that. So I'm if your parents don't ask, then you don't have to, you know, tell them, but I'm sure they probably will help you with that. Parents, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So the big idea in this text, and it's not going to become apparent at first, but as we drill down, it will be, is that children and parents and children can give God huge amounts of glory in their relationship with each other. God can be glorified greatly as parents and children relate to each other. So starting out, children. Starts with the kids, and as a parent, I quite enjoy that. I'm looking forward to tonight when my two boys are going to be sitting right there on the front row. It's going to be a good evening today. Wish we could just fast forward to that moment. And children, I love my boys. It's not. So who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to children, whatever age, who are living under the authority of their parents. So your little tiny children or young child or an adolescent, or, you know, you get to that age where you're like, I'm an adult now. I can drive and I have a voice that's deeper than yours. Now you're still under your parents' authority. This is for you. This is an instruction specifically directed at you. And what's the instruction? Children, obey. That's a command to obey other commands. It's like a double imperative, right? That's getting you ready for English class that's coming up tomorrow, right? Okay, children, obey. Do what they say. Listen. You know, it's not a good excuse to say, I didn't hear you. No, you have to listen. You have to hear. It's like you can't, you know, when you're pulled over for speed, it's like, I didn't see the sign. Doesn't matter. You have to look at the sign, so you have to listen to the person talking to you. You have to listen to your parents and then do what they say. That's what it's saying. It's pretty simple, right? It's like, should we pray now and be done? Is that obey your who should you obey? The people that it's hardest for you to obey when you're a child, at least again. Maybe I'm drawing too much on my own experience, but I was a good person, like in Sunday school class. And if you had me in Sunday school class and I wasn't, just I'm sorry, my memory is not as good as it was before, but I think I was a really good, like, Sunday school student, and I was a really good, like, when I go to speech and drama class, and my speech teacher loved me. She shouldn't have, but she did. I was the class clown. I tried to be, which that's always the worst kind of class clown, the one who's trying too hard. That was me, and disrupting the class, but in spite of that, still loved me, because I was obedient. I did what she said, and I obeyed other people, other adults. They would tell me things to do, and I would be very, very nice, and but with my parents, aren't they the hardest people to obey? You can go and be a perfect student, and then you get home, and then it's your parents. And Paul says, before you're submissive to anybody else, obey your parents. They're your immediate authority. They're the ones that you should obey more than everybody else. Like, don't disobey your teacher tomorrow more than your parents. That's not what it's saying. But obey your parents even more than them. And in this, isn't there something implied for us as parents as well? Children, obey your parents. What does that imply about parents? That we're actively guiding our children, that we're there. I think Paul's, by saying children obey your parents, he's implying, well, parents are going to be there. They're going to be involved with their children. They're going to be forming and molding them. And this is a passive instruction to us as parents. He's assuming what he says explicitly. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Look at what he says. Fathers, their parents. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. He specifically says, bring them up. So raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. He raise up your children, form them, develop them, help them mature, give them a good work ethic and a good mind, and develop their mind, and especially more than anything, teach them to know God. He's assuming within the instruction to children that parents are telling the kids what to do and not just bossing them around, but they're guiding them and they're saying, this is the kind of person that I want you to become, and so do this and do this and do this and this. And then, this is a good verse to remember. So as you're memorizing this, kids, children, obey your parents. Anybody want to say the next phrase? In my Bible, it's two letters. In everything. In everything. That's when it's hard to obey, isn't it? We talked about submission last week, but obedience to parents this week. Whether it's submission or whether it's obedience, or it's always easy when I'm in agreement. When I tell my kids, would you go get the bag of potato chips in the basement and the thing of pop, because those are special occasion things, and the hot dogs from the fridge. They're turkey hot dogs with a higher protein than fat ratio. So they're not horrible, but who knows what's mixed up in there. But anyway, so don't judge me. But when I tell them, go get all that stuff, they obey, and they obey happily and really fast, and it's amazing to see their obedience on their birthdays when they get to play video games. I know I'm a horrible parent, but on their birthdays when they get to play video games, and I say, you go downstairs and play video games, they're like, they obey me so fast. Listen, kids, children, obey your parents in everything. What does everything mean? Everything, right? That's everything they ask you to do. Do you ever like sit around and go, and then have that little mental thing where you're like, oh, but what about that? What about that? And you analyze and you calculate and you decide if you want to do it and you decide if it's the best way to do it. And it's something, have you ever like not done what your parents asked and then you come back and they said, well, why didn't you do that? You said, well, because this other way was better and this other thing was better. Did you ever have a better plan than your parents? Yeah, that's a rhetorical question because, of course, we all have had better plans than our parents. He says, obey them in everything. Do what they say. Whatever they say, just don't think about it. Don't analyze it. It's not your time to be, you know, the brain of the family. Just do it. Do whatever your parents tell you, do it. Whether you approve of it or not, whether you're happy with it or not, even in like really dumb little tiny stuff, just do it. And in big, difficult things, whatever they tell you to do, just do it. Just obey. That's what he's saying. Children, obey your parents in everything. Everything also, doesn't that imply, well, not just everything they say, but with everything you are? Remember when we talked last week about what submission wasn't? And submission isn't like, okay. It's going along with your whole self, and then afterwards, I was helpfully pointing in the direction of it's submitting yourself. It's like a whole self thing, and that was incorporated in the evening. And it's the same thing here. Obey with everything, with everything you are, with your heart. Not like, oh, they're going to do this, and I'm mad, and I'm... Parents, how happy are you when you tell your kids to do something, and they like are, man, the whole time just start crying. But they do what you say. Is that obedience? Am I the only parent with children in the house? You could say no out loud. It's okay. I'm asking the question. Of course it's not obedience. It's not obeying with in everything. It's with everything you are as well. It's being happy. We have a little phrase that I got from my parents. It's an awesome phrase. It's I don't remember it in English. Which would be helpful at this moment, wouldn't it? It's rápido y feliz. It's quick and happy. Doesn't sound the same way. I think my mom said it in a different way that sounded better, more poetic. But in Spanish, it sounds better. Rápido y feliz. It's quick and happy. Quick and happy. How do you obey? Quickly and happily. That was it. Quickly and happily. It rhymed that way. Quickly and happily. I heard it enough growing up. I should have it burned into my brain. Quickly and happily. What's obedience? It's not just doing what they say. It's doing it quickly and happily. That's obedience. That's obeying with everything that you are. And then... Now, if you're a parent, if you've ever been a parent, ever seen parents, ever been to Walmart and seen children and parents interact, we can laugh at this. Children, obey your parents in everything. For, you know what that word is? That word means because. What's because an answer to? Why? Why? And what's the question kids always ask? Why? It's like they learn the word no, dad or mom, whoever wins that, you know, little contest, and then why? Why is the, and that is the word that's used. Oh, why? 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 We have a rule in our house. It's not obedience if you ask why first. You got to do it, and then you can ask why. If you happily come back and say, why did I have to do that? But since, you know, that question is asked, it's actually answered in this text. It's pretty helpful. So children, listen up. Obey your parents in everything, and you say, why? Is that okay? I'm getting a cold, so I think, be careful afterwards talking to me. I think I can make my voice crack appropriately. Why? Well, look at what it says. Because, he tells us why, this pleases the Lord. This is incredible. He says, listen, when you obey your parents, like, go clean the bathroom. Why? Because it makes God happy for you to say yes and to quickly and happily do whatever your parents ask you to do. Isn't that incredible that the God of the universe is watching you? And when you obey your parents and do what they say quickly and happily, he's like, that makes me happy. It's like God smiles when children obey their parents. What other reason do you need to obey your parents than that? That's pretty, to me, that's pretty cool. Makes me want to be a child again, but glad I'm not. Okay, now then it turns a little corner and it says parents or fathers. That could be just the fathers, but it also, it could be a parents, mothers and fathers. And I think in the context, saying mothers and fathers is appropriate. So parents, mothers and fathers, this is an instruction for us, for those of us who have children. And you notice, and I don't think this is by accident, you notice the instruction to children and the instruction to parents are how far apart in the text? They're right next to each other. Why do you think that is? Isn't it just implied? If you have children, you're to be with them. You're to raise them. You're to live in the same house together. You're to be together. You're to whatever, you know, whatever things happen in life, you're to be close to them and right next to each other. So then parents, he's talking to us. Do not provoke. Do not provoke your children. Do not provoke. What is that? He's saying, don't break their spirit. Don't provoke them to anger. Don't incite frustration and irritation in them. If they get mad because they're rebellious, that's not on you. That's them. But don't provoke them to anger. When do we provoke our children to anger or frustrate them or irritate them? And not because they're rebellious, but because we're not doing what we should do. What's he talking about? Isn't this what happens when we get frustrated, when we get irritated, when I don't control my emotions, when what's coming out of me towards my children is not fruits of the Spirit, so I'm not peaceful and happy and kind and loving as I'm telling my children and dealing with their rebellion and correcting them, but rather I'm being rough with them, and not necessarily physically, but verbally. I'm being harsh is the right word. I mean harsh with them, because I'm inside. I'm like, I got so much to do, and if you just stop, just do what I say, and just stop bothering me, and I don't want to have to deal with your character development issues in this moment, because I don't have time for it. So then I get frustrated, and I get irritated, and then what do? Well, we're harsh with them, and we're like, I've told you 1,000 times. How many times do I have to tell you that? That's not giving them instructions. That's berating them. We berate them, and then our tone of voice changes, and you know that you're speaking harshly to your kids, and that you're having frustration with them because when you're speaking to them, and then somebody else comes in that's not part of your immediate family, and your tone of voice changes immediately. It's like, oh, I wasn't talking to them the way I should have. It's when our volume goes up. And we don't affirm and encourage them. It's like, well, finally you did that. And when we're not consistent with the rules and the correction in our home, when we explode out of anger, even if we don't explode on the outside, but on the inside, we're just, and it comes out in harshness towards our children. That's what he's talking about, because when that happens, we provoke our children to anger and frustration. We break their spirit. And the opposite of that is taking care of their spirit. It's nurturing their spirit, isn't it? It's us letting the fruits of the Spirit come out of us and us being kind and patient and loving and gentle and self-control. It's like, wow, that could have been written just to parents. And then it's through that, guiding them well, even when we're under stress and they're not behaving the way they should, and it's being patient, and it's encouraging them. And it's not just, oh, good little Johnny, just please, please behave until we get out of Walmart. Please, please, please. It's correcting them with love and with consistency. That's the opposite of provoking our children. It's controlling ourselves so that we can guide them well. And then he says, "What fathers, do not provoke your children." He's saying, you know how easy it is sometimes to, and we should, guide other people and disciple other people and encourage other people. And I can go have coffee with you and just give you time, and we can read the Bible together, and you can ask me questions, and I can give you advice. You can give me advice, and that's wonderful. But he says, your children, we're responsible for guiding and developing and nurturing our children and giving, pouring into them. Your children, that also implies the same thing that's implied by the closeness of the text and by the children obey your parents, implying that parents are with their children, giving them text. The whole thing throughout this is implied that if you have children, you're with your children. You're living life together. You're guiding them. And then in the same way that he tells children why, he answers the why question for the kid verse, he answers the why question for the parent verse, which at first glance you might say, well, we're parents. We don't ask why. Yeah, we do. We always, that never leaves us. We always want to know why. So he says, fathers, do not provoke your children. And he say, why? You know, now a fully developed voice. Why? Lest they become discouraged. Well, why should we control our emotions and then guide our children well and take care of their spirit so that they don't become discouraged, so that we're able to guide them and form them so that they don't become discouraged and their spirit broken and lose their will to be guided by you and to be formed by you so that they will follow you as you lead them, so that you're able to develop them and help them become the people the persons that they can and should be and live the lives that they could and should be live and follow your guidance, and ultimately so that they would know God as they follow your example and look at you. So that's what the verses say. Children, obey your parents. Parents, do not provoke your children. Don't frustrate them. Don't break their spirit. And if you remember, the big idea in this is that God receives great glory when we do this. And if you say at the end of it, well, how does God, I don't see glory in that. I see good instruction, practical instruction. But where's the glory part of that? Look up a couple of verses. Look up at verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're to do everything to give glory to God as if we were representing Jesus. And then he goes and he says, wives and husbands and parents and children. And he's saying, this is how you give glory to God in your parent-child relationship. If you're a child, this is how you give glory to God, by obeying your parents. If you're a parent, this is how you give glory to God, by not provoking your children, by leading them the way God leads you. I'm reading into that, but that's what he's saying. And God receives, because of the context, we could say, well, God receives glory when we do that. We're doing that in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you obey and God is pleased with that, you're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. God receives glory. And when you guide your children in a way that leads them and corrects them and molds them and doesn't provoke them and make them resentful of you, that's giving glory to God, because he's telling us how we give glory to God with these instructions. We're fulfilling verse 17. And if you say, yeah, but why do obedient children and parents who are guiding their children, why does that give so much glory to God? It's because it makes God visible, which is what glory is. It makes the invisible God visible to everyone else. When fathers are parents to their children, they make God visible. They show people what God the Father is like. And when children obey their parents, they make God be seen by our reaction to God. How do children and parents make God visible to other people around them? Because, listen, parents and children, specifically father and child, is the metaphor, the biggest metaphor in the Bible that the Bible uses to describe God's relationship with the people that he brings into his family. Family and father and child is the metaphor of God's relationship with us. It's the biggest one. There's others, but it is the one that goes throughout the entire Bible. And in that metaphor, God is the Father, and those who are with him are his children. And so look just historically, look throughout the Bible. Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 6. It says, do you thus repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Is he not your Father who created you, who made you and established you? When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, what did he say? Luke 11, verse 2, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Addressing God as Father. Why does God say to come out and be separate and be with him? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And look at the very end. Look at Revelation 21, verse 7. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Father and child, father and son, that's the relationship that's put forth in the Bible for those who are in a relationship with God. They're his children, and then he's their father. And when we are parents, the reason that parents and children in this life can give glory to God in their relationship with each other by obeying their parents and by guiding their children in love is because we reflect the relationship between God and his children, God the Father, God the perfect Father, in our relationship with our children. And that's an incredible weight and an incredible thing to carry around. But we see that God made us to be in a relationship with him. When we look at children in this life and their need for their parents, and when they don't have that parents, there's issues, and there's a gaping lack and a need. We see our rebellion against God when we look at how children rebel against their parents in this life. We see how we're supposed to respond to God when children in this life live in submission to their parents. We see how we're supposed to live in submission and in obedience to God. That's something I tell my kids sometimes when my head's on straight, is the way that you obey me is how you're learning how to obey God. That's why it's so important. We see how God the Father guides and leads and nurtures his children when we see parents who are guiding and nurturing and developing and correcting and their children. We make God visible, and that is the biggest reason to the why question. Why should children obey parents? Why should fathers not provoke their children? Why should they lead them and be active in their lives? Why? Because in that relationship, when we do that, we're making God visible. So it's our responsibility to guide our children because we reflect God when we do it. Children, it's your responsibility to obey your parents because you reflect how we're supposed to all. You're teaching even the adults how they're supposed to obey God by how you're obeying your parents. So what should we do as we close our Bibles and say, what do I do with that text? We should give glory to God. We should glorify God in our relationship with father and parents and children. So children, you know the application for you, right? Memorize that verse and obey your parents. The way that God's children are supposed to obey God, the way you would look at other older people in churches and say, well, you're not obeying God right now. Why aren't you obeying God? In that same way, obey your parents and everything, and from your heart, when you're gritting your teeth and you're mad inside, talk to God and say, I'm not obeying the way I should. Help me obey. Change my heart. And when you don't want to obey your parents and you're at the point of saying no or why, listen, ask yourself, tell yourself, this makes God happy. This makes God smile. So I'm going to smile and obey my parents. If you're a parent, and you have children that are under your authority in this moment, then guide them. Guide them the way that God the Father guides his children. Be present with them. Guide them. Tell them, put them on the path for life in love. And when it's difficult and you're frustrated inside and you feel the frustration about to boil over on the outside, tell yourself, I have to reflect God to my child. I am the biggest portrait of God that they have. I'm supposed to be the living thing that they look at and say, that's who God is like. So someday, just go fast forward in your mind to that day when you're sitting with the Bible open and you're saying, you should become God's child. You should let me baptize you into Christ. And you want them to say, I want to be God's child because I see the kind of parent you are. And that's taught me what God is like. And if nothing will rein in my bad character, I'll say me because I know we all have bad character, but I'll talk about myself in those moments, that should. And when we talk about parents and children, it's a call to us to draw near to our Creator and to live in a relationship of father and child with Him. So it's an invitation. It's an invitation for some of us because you're not God's child. You've never come to Jesus and given yourself to Him and been adopted by God the Father. And so talking about God the Father is an invitation for you to say, I want to become God's child. I want to repent and be baptized and give myself to Jesus and make Him my Savior and Lord. And when you do that, in that moment, God adopts you into His family. You become His child. You become His son or His daughter. Then you have the most incredible Father in the universe. You have God as your Father and all of His love and His care and His approval. You have that. And so this morning, do you need to make that decision? If you've never done that, do you feel God pulling on your heart? And if He is, what's keeping you from telling someone today, I want to become God's child and repent and be baptized? And if you already are a Christian, reading about parents and children should be, because that's the biggest metaphor in the world for God and us, it should be a call to us that already are God's children to live in the abundance of that relationship that we already have. If you're a Christian, you're God's child every day, all throughout the day, in good and bad moments, and you're loved by Him and approved by Him and secure in Him. And it's a call for us to appreciate that relationship. Even if you're not a parent with children right now, if you're God's child, it's a call. This text is a call for us to say, I'm so thankful. I'm overwhelmed with joy and with thankfulness. I can't believe that the God of the universe is my Father, and I need to obey Him, and I need to be reverent towards Him, and I need to give myself to Him, and I need to spend time with Him. So, question for you: if you are a Christian, how can you live closer to your Father, enjoying the abundance of the relationship that you have with Him? So think about that. Why don't we stand? We'll pray, and then we'll sing together. Dear God, we worship You this morning as Father. We thank You, God, that You are a Father to those of us who have had excellent fathers and to those of us who are fatherless. You are the perfect and true Father. God, I pray that You would help us to know You in that way. And also, God, I pray for those of us who are children and those of us who are parents, that You would help us to, in our obedience, reflect how Your children obey You as we obey our parents. And as we guide our children, help us to reflect the good, perfect Father that You are to our children and anyone else who is watching. In Jesus' name we pray.